They'd come from Bird's asshole. Cloaca. Same difference. An asshole by any other name, the poet said, would smell just as sweet. The sun was still low behind us when we took off down the service road that paralleled 90. Not much traffic, no wind or weather. It would be a great vacation if we were on vacation. Riding alongside quiet bayous, wading birds oblivious to us, stalking breakfast. But I couldn't not think. How deep shit were we in, and with whom? Besides the enemy, we were in at least shallow shit with the forces for good in the universe, Agent Underwood and her ilk. Presumably, they would understand why we had dropped out of sight. Kit was reading my mind. Should we let somebody know where we are? Maybe. Who would be safe? God knows. If they're tapping phones, they probably have our parents covered, and your agent. But you say they can't tap a random phone from the 7-Eleven? No way. Not unless they had possession of it first, got at its software. So why did you destroy that one this morning? Just caution. I was on shaky ground. I'd researched it for high kill, but that was 4 or 5 years ago. They couldn't tap the phone, but maybe they could track it, given the information they could pick up from our parents' phones. Think so? Well, at the very least, they could call us back as soon as we answer. They know where we are. Or where the nearest booster antenna is. Wish I'd taken some engineering courses. Me too, she said. Amazing how little help quantum electrodynamics is in real life. We switched places, my turn to lead. I preferred following since all I had to do then was keep an eye out for her and drop back when she came into view. I was a stronger cyclist, so if I was in front, I tended to pull away steadily, especially if there were hills. Power up and streak down. On the level like this, I had to keep an eye on the speedometer, keeping it below 13 or 14 miles per hour. If it were only about logic, it would be sensible for her to lead all the time. We found out in a couple of hours that that didn't work. She pushed herself, trying to stay in my comfort range, and was dead tired by noon. Whether that was competitive or accommodating, I wasn't sure. It bothered me a little that she was upset by the direction the novel was taking. I wanted to stick to my guns, though. The first stuff I really loved reading was the horror fiction of the late 20th, early 21st century. Stephen King and Peter Straub and those guys. Though it started with Poe, which must often be the case. Books your parents let you read because they were in somebody's canon, even if they were more dire in their own way than horror movies or slasher comics. When I was in grade school, I read to the other kids on weekends and in the summer. There was a construction site at the end of my road. When the workers weren't there, we'd crouch in the shadows with a candle and stolen matches, and I would intone Poe in the spookiest voice my short, unformed vocal cords could manage. "For the love of God, Montressor!" in a squeaky voice. I hadn't thought about that in years. How much different is what I do now? The stories aren't spooky, I suppose, except when they are. If I'd known then that I was going to be a soldier, killing people and getting shot myself, I would have been thrilled. And then you're going to spend the rest of your life in a small room pecking away at a keyboard. No, Montressor. For the love of God, no. One of the guys in our outfit, I don't remember his real name, his radio handle was Hotshot. He was going into the private sector after he separated, hiring out as a mercenary soldier. They were getting about triple our pay, doing stuff that looked less dangerous. Still, we all agreed that he was fucking crazy. He laughed and agreed, too. But you could tell he really loved the work. His eyes actually gleamed. He smiled when other people looked grim. Loved guns and grenades, and guys, you had to suppose, in a thoroughly manly way. Though that must be cyclic. One thing Granddude despised about the army in his day was the aggressive locker room masculinity of it. Brutal hazing for anybody who was quiet or intellectual. I guess we had some of that. I took some ribbing for always carrying a book everywhere in basic and AIT. But in actual combat, all of the men were more quiet, more serious and introspective. Repeated exposure to death and suffering plays hell with your sense of humor, or tilts it in a gallows direction anyhow, like putting a lit cigarette in the ruined face of a napalm victim between his bright teeth. We laughed so hard we almost shit. But I guess you had to be there. It's not so funny in the recollection. Cyclic, cultural. When I taught the short workshop in Iowa, none of the kids had heard of the Grand Guignol. But then, when I was their age, the image of an audience laughing at nipples being cut off with lawn shears was pretty extreme. They probably do it on soaps now. Before I finish the book, I should spend a couple of days watching daytime television. Kit is shocked by the things that go through Hunter's mind and life, but she's no more mainstream than I am. Maybe they're eating babies on prime time now. To thine own self be true. I'd read Hamlet on my own before we got to it in school, and I magic markered that line. Embarrassing to find out that Polonius is a fathead, and the profound observation was a laugh line to the Elizabethan groundlings. And it must follow as night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. So, if you're a fathead, and are true to yourself, you say fatuous things. Quod erat demonstrandum, we may have learned the same day. A penny for your thoughts? Kit had pulled up alongside of me. Polonius, I said. I've got to Pelonius. Next billboard? No shops or gas stations for miles. Sure. The next billboard was a weathered relic that some anti-abortion group had stopped paying for. A faded fetus claiming that it had a heartbeat at 2 weeks. Was that true? The unpainted latticework that formed the base of the sign didn't really offer more than symbolic privacy. She took the small roll of toilet paper and went behind it. I turned my back to her and watched the road. A big black SUV slowed as it approached. The passenger window rolled down, and a man pointed out a camera with a fat lens. They passed close enough for me to hear the shutter go chop, chop, chop 3 times, like a newsie covering a game or a speech. Pervert, I said. He lowered the camera and smiled. It wasn't a leer. It was a smile of quiet satisfaction. Did I recognize the face? Fat white guy with a dark tan and a shock of white hair. White mustache. The license plate number was partially hidden behind a crust of mud, but it hadn't rained in weeks. They rolled to a stop about 200 yards away. Shit, I said, and unzipped the handlebar bag. What's he doing? Kit said. I don't know. Get down flat. I let the bike go, dropped to one knee, and tried to get a sight picture with the stubby revolver. I'd be lucky to hit the car, let alone something the size of a human. I pulled back on the hammer unnecessarily, and it clicked like a quiet door latch, cocking. The passenger door opened slightly. I held my breath and squeezed the trigger. The flat bang was louder than I'd expected. If the bullet hit the car, it wasn't obvious. The door opened more and then slammed shut, and the tires squealed as the car peeled away. I kept the sight picture, but didn't fire again. My God, she said. My God! I was busy keeping my asshole tight and didn't say anything. This was too much like reality. I willed my trigger finger to relax, but I kept the sight picture until the car went over a rise and disappeared.
"Jesus," she said. "Did you have to do that?"
I don't know. If I did have to, it might have saved our lives. I clicked the cylinder around so the firing pin rested on the empty shell. If not, I guess we'll be talking to the cops pretty soon. I could hear her pulling up her Lycra shorts. That's not something I ever looked forward to before. I picked up my bike and put the revolver back in the handlebar bag, but didn't zip it shut. I studied the map carrier. 9 or 10 miles to the next town. Or should we head back to New Orleans? She had picked up her bike and was adjusting her helmet.
Nearest phone. You ought to call Underwood.
I guess.
Where had I seen that face behind the lens? Could it have been in Springfield?
Did you see the guy?
With the camera? Kind of.
Look familiar to you?
She paused. Just from old movies. A bad guy.
Yeah, the enemy spy in James Bond. But somebody real. Maybe in New Orleans?
I don't know. I must have had 10,000 customers at Mario's. Maybe 1,000 had white hair and tans.
My ears were still ringing from the gunshot. Hands shook, and my chest was so tight I could barely breathe. I shouldn't have stomped the phone.
As it turns out, no. But how do you think they found us? If it was them.
Who else would it be?
Jack. I had my bare ass out there in the sunshine. You see it every day, but to some other man it might be worth a picture.
All right, I said lamely. But someone who had a fancy big lens DSLR sitting there, ready to go? Maybe I'll see a pretty ass to shoot.
I don't think so. Okay. But then why didn't they shoot? I mean, with a gun, if they were the bad guys.
I don't think that's part of the plan. They've had all kinds of chances if they wanted me dead. I clenched the handlebar to stop my hands from shaking. Probably didn't even have a gun in the car if they were smart. She didn't say anything. I turned and saw that she was crying silently. Dropped the bike and went to hold her. Awkward with her bike still leaning against her hip. She let it fall away and wrapped her arms around me.
"I'm sorry," she said.
"Nothing to be sorry for." My mind spun out of control. If I'd only had a camera instead of a gun. A phone with a camera, like normal people. Or both phone and gun. Aim both at the same time. Click, bang, click, bang. How the fuck did they find us on a back road in Mississippi? And was any place on the planet safe? Hell, if Iowa isn't safe, where would be?
"You know what you told me about racing cars?" she murmured into my shoulder.
"Racing cars?"
"You said if you are in a race and the car in front of you gets into trouble, you aim for him. Because he's liable to go any place but straight ahead."
"That's right." She rubbed her face against my shirt, and I could feel the tears.
"So we should just keep on. Go the direction they went."